ever pick up the wrong one? One, before you start, let me just update you on a couple of things. One, practices. I moved practice inside. So, that's a fine. That is a fine. Conduct detrimental right there. I went ahead and moved it inside, 110 specialist. So there's a lot of storms and all that. And the other, second one is Josh Huff. We just sent Josh home. He's sick today, so you won't see him at practice. So those are the two announcements that I had.
Okay. Yesterday you sort of indicated that Sproles and Cox would be at a similar level of activity, but they weren't. I mean, Cox didn't do any of the team stuff. Is that because of his contract situation?
Not at all. And, I've had a conversation with Jim Schwartz, and again, it's all part of, Fletcher getting in here and learning our system and being a part of the walkthroughs in the morning and the classroom and the individual and warm-up periods in practice. And just wanted to make sure that he's in the right frame of mind and the right situation before you stick him out there. So, again, as I mentioned yesterday, now's not the time to try to push things and possibly risk an injury. Darren's a little different animal, and he had an opportunity to get a couple reps yesterday, and he's also a special teams guy. So you saw him catch some punts yesterday, And now you'll see him again out there in a similar role.
How far behind is Fletcher Cox because he's missed the voluntary camp?
Well, he's missed all the installation, So however far back that is, goes back to April 4th. But listen, I'm not concerned with Fletcher Cox. He can play the game of football. And it's not going to take – he's a sharp guy. And it's not going to take much or long for him to get caught up.
Darren Sproles seemed to take – at least some, and maybe even a majority of the first team reps yesterday. What was the decision behind that and moving him immediately ahead of Ryan Matthews?
It wasn't necessarily moving him ahead of Ryan. It was the fact that I made the decision. I just wanted to see him, And I spoke with Deuce Staley and said, Deuce, if we can find a spot to give him an opportunity where he's not necessarily in traffic, let's see what he can do. And so it was my decision to put him in those situations. But it was not a it's not a depth chart issue or anything like that.
I mean, three absences we've seen from players, Sam Bradford, Fletcher Cox, and Darren Sproles, when they've come back, you haven't felt necessary to really talk about why they weren't here. You've supported them here very adamantly. Do you worry about being viewed from the locker room as being too soft on the players in those circumstances?
No, because what we do on the practice field and how I handle the guys on the practice field, I think will speak volumes to them. Again, I just keep going back to the fact that the entire offseason, outside of these 4 days this week, it's a voluntary system. And that's just the rules that are in place, and I have to abide by the rules. But once they step out on that practice field, they're mine, and I can push them as hard as I need to push them. So I don't view it that way, and I know the players don't see it that way as well.
So do you have a sense yet whether you'll have featured back with Ryan Matthews, take the be a workhorse, or do you think it'll be more running back by committee?
Well, you go in thinking that one guy can, handle the load. If that's Ryan, he can handle all the stuff and the pounding. But with the guys we have, with the depth we have at that position, Darren's obviously a big part of that. And now with Wendell coming on, I think it could be a little running back by committee. But at the same time, that's how things unfold in this league. It's not necessarily your plan going in, but a lot of times that's how things can unfold. I would agree. There is a little bit of a wobble, but again, not a concern. A lot of those situations, a lot of those throws from a young quarterback come from learning your system, meaning you're a little late here, you're a little late there, you're trying to anticipate that throw, you're a little off here. And so you're processing all the information so fast that the last thing that goes is the throw, the actual physical nature of the throw. Not a concern because we saw the tape in college and he can definitely spin the football. And the more comfortable he gets – the other thing, too, is mechanically, when his feet are right, and for any quarterback, Sam, Chase included, when their feet are right, ball comes out of their hand nicely, and we've seen that from Carson as well.
Had Carson here, where has he made the biggest strides, and what areas does he need to improve the most?
Well, obviously the biggest is the fact that his understanding of what we're doing offensively, the terminology, the scheme, where he needs to, I think, improve is a little bit in his fundamentals, his lower body, footwork. He gets a little long in his stride. And just understanding why certain plays are called, which he probably understood his offense in college at North Dakota State. Now he needs to figure out and learn why we're calling, Frank or I are calling certain plays in practice, and put all those pieces together. And that's part of the maturity and the growth for young quarterbacks in any offense.
Have you gone back and looked at any other franchises that have drafted guys with the understanding that they weren't going to start them right away and viewed how they used them during this time in training camp? Aaron Rodgers, I know he came a year after you.
I haven't gone back and studied exactly how they – handled those situations. Obviously, you could see it from afar, the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre deal, and, even as far back as, Montana and Steve Young in that situation. And but I haven't gone as far as, studying how they practice, the number of reps, things of that nature. I haven't looked that far into it.
More from your feel of what you think, how much you should give them once training camp starts.
It'll ultimately be myself and Frank having those conversations and saying, hey, we can – you got to get your starter. You got to get Sam and Chase enough reps, as you go. And then Carson needs to also, and it's not just Carson. It's also some of the younger players, Wendell Smallwood and Jalen Mills and Count. These guys on defense, too, need the number of reps to be able to evaluate them properly throughout camp.
As players train together in these next 6 weeks, what are your thoughts on that, them training away from the facility, A, and B, is that something you did as a player at all?
I did it as a player. It's good to get away from the building, get away from us as coaches, us get away from them for these next 5 or 6 weeks until camp starts, get their minds fresh, get their bodies right. Because when we come back, it's here. I mean, football is here. And I encourage guys, if they live close to each other, to get together and throw or work out. And I think that builds team unity and camaraderie with the guys. And I never had anybody close enough to me, so it was always on my own. But I encourage that as well in these next couple of weeks.
How do you guys assess tight ends, and how creative do you think you can be with them in the offense?
Wow, I think tight ends is one of our strong suits on offense right now. Selleck is the leader of that group, obviously with his expertise, and he kind of fits in that Jason Peters mold a little bit. He's a guy you want to definitely get to game day and be smart with him, physically and all that. And Zach Ertz is a guy that. What a talent! He's learning how to block on the line of scrimmage. He's getting stronger there. He's understanding his role, how to run routes, detail routes, things of that nature. Trey is a tremendous athlete that I think is a guy that we can move around a little bit offensively and create some matchups there. And then Chris is there. Chris is there, and he's a guy that is learning really as a dual role. He's a little bit of fullback, he's a little bit of tight end, but he's been a pleasant surprise this offseason, and really look forward to camp and putting the pads on with all of those guys to really see where they're at physically.
Chris is a little tall to be a fullback, doesn't he? He's 6'4". Is that a little tall for a fullback?
Well, yeah, if you stereotype a fullback, I mean, you'd there are usually those short neck guys that slam up in there and block linebackers, but I have to look at it from, okay, how much are we going to use that position, the value of that position, and if you got four tight ends active on game day, that's pretty good, because one of them can be a fullback, special teams, all of that comes into play. But I'm not concerned with the size, of him. It goes back to once we get the pads on, just want to see the physical nature of where he's at.
Your offense.
A little bit. He's another one I want to see back there and just kind of see where he can, and if he can handle the contact back there.
Your offense requires a little bit more communication between the center and quarterback than Kelly's did because of the tempo. How is that process going between Jason and Sam?
It's great. It's great. This is why, you know, part of the reason why Chase is here is to teach that verbal communication with Sam and for them to dialogue and bounce these situations and the terminology back and forth. There is a lot of – I put more on the quarterback in this system than – and it's kind of what I've been accustomed to even when I was a player with Coach Reed. I mean, he put everything on the quarterback, and we had to learn it that way. And I think, too, we've got some we got some sharp centers, as you know, with Kelsey, and he's a guy that can see the field tremendously. So the quarterback center communication level has to be at extreme high. Quarterback has the ultimate say, but between those two, it's been really good this spring.
Doug, I know you're regulated by the CBA, but what is your philosophy on hitting once you get into camp?
How often and how many times can we hit? I fully believe that you got to practice in pads quite a bit, and I feel like it's important from a timing aspect in your run game. You know, it's just so important for not only offensively but defensively as well. Linebackers, safeties, guys that need to be around the line of scrimmage and make plays, run lanes, blitzes, all of that needs to be done in pads. And I'm a big believer in putting the pads on, you know, and banging a little bit. And the way training camp is structured, you know, we'll test them for about 3 or 4 days, kind of go hard, and then we'll back off a little bit, take the pads off, let them recover, put them back on, let them recover again, and just kind of ramp up to the regular season that way. But I'll have a couple of periods the entire training camp that will be live periods. Everything else will be thud. Everything will be, you know, a point of contact, tap off, let them go. But just being able to be in pads, run fits, all of that, yeah, we'll definitely do that.
On defense, what's keeping Eric Rowe from playing the first
time? Well, I think he's, again, learning a new system. He's a tremendous talent. He's a long corner, learning some techniques that Jim is bringing and what Coach Onlin is teaching. And it's just it's a growth process. It's a learning process. You know, even though he played some games last year and, you know, you come in and you think you have an opportunity to play, you know, and then with the talent that we've brought in around him, you know, it challenges guys that way. And it's all part of the, you know, the competition factor at those positions. And he's doing a nice job. He's doing a nice job. He's got some learning to do, but fully confident that he can handle it and get the job done.
What does he do yesterday?
He looked fast. He looked quick. He looked like he was, you know, ready to go. I didn't think he really missed a beat off from a workout standpoint. Kept himself in great shape and everything. And it's the first time really that I've had a chance to see him in person, you know, and from what everybody's told me, it holds true. He's the hardest worker on the football team, works hard in the offseason, gets himself ready to go, you know, 13-year guy that knows how to get himself prepared. So I liked what I saw yesterday, just a little bit.
What do you and your staff do?
Get away. Shut it down. Shut it down. I mean, I encourage my guys and my coaches to – this is their time to spend time with their families. This is time to – you know, recharge the batteries, because when we come back on July 24th, we're in it and the grind is on. So get away from it, prepare themselves for the long haul and enjoy the time off.
Now, does Wentz go deep more than the other two quarterbacks in these sessions because that's his personality, or are those just the reads he's most comfortable with at this point?
Most of it's the reads. There are a couple decisions that he's made that I would not that we've corrected based on some of the throws he's made deep. You probably saw one yesterday. The interception was not a great decision, but again, it's part of learning the system. But you know, he has a natural ability to throw the ball down the field, and that's what you like. You love the aggression. You want to be able to push it down the field, and some of it is by play design. Some of it is by just sheer mistake, you know. But man, I love seeing the ball go over the top at times.
Okay.
Thanks guys. Thank you.